Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Come, for all things are now ready. This is the simple and profound theme of the day. The banquet is prepared, and you are invited. All are invited, as many are called. The gospel is all-inclusive as it goes across the world, preaching the salvation won for all mankind. Yet it is salvation through the exclusive, narrow door of faith in Jesus Christ. None are excluded who seek to enter that door in faith. He seeks to save all people regardless of race or social standing or any such thing. Some do wish to force their way into the banquet on their own terms, that is, without the wedding garment. But that's in Matthew's account of this gospel text, and we treat it on the 20th Sunday after Trinity. But for today's purposes, the great banquet is spread for all, yet many still refuse to attend. And we should be open and honest about how silly this continual refusal really is, especially for those who have once tasted of the feast and yet stay away. All things are now ready. Nothing is lacking. It is finished. His divine service for us has come. Creation is restored. God has made peace with man. He has given his Son to us. He has ushered in the age of new life by his resurrection. And he gives. He gives his body and his blood broken and shed on the cross for you to eat and drink for the forgiveness of sins. All things are ready. You don't need to add your promises to improve your broken life in order to be forgiven. God has instead made the promise to you and has made good on it through the sacrifice. He's removed his wrath, propitiated it. Yet still we make our excuses about why we can't attend his service to us at any given moment of the year. Everyone is invited, yet not everyone comes. Some love darkness, even if out of ignorance. Yet the excuses for attending rarely seem to us like such a thing as loving darkness. Rather, they put it positively. Love being good stewards of their fields, of their cattle. They love their wives and need to set up the home. And they're polite. In the gospel text, they're polite. Please have me excused. And these are the common excuses Jesus gives. We have our own in our day. We know them in our own conscience. Our own ways that we try to wiggle out of our conscience really becoming too pricked with guilt. Our ways to conceal the gods we worship instead of the Lord. The excuses in the parable are land, material possessions, family. We've all missed the word. Hearing the word for these sorts of reasons and plenty other lesser reasons. God is not pleased and God is not mocked. Such politeness and good intentions are met by God in this parable with anger, with wrath, and finally with exclusion. None of those men who were invited shall taste my banquet. They don't claim to be hostile to the master, but the master is ultimately hostile to them. For he sees the reality and doesn't care about what they say are their good intentions. And for us in our day, in applying this, this is a word of law. And this is the gospel that our forefathers would have us on this day. And we should note, there is indeed gospel, but first we should let this law sink. We should consider, of course, the times of our lives where if we're caring for a sick member of our family, where we ourselves are ill, contagious, only physically able maybe to make one trip out of our home per week, and it's the doctor. Or if we just had a baby, car didn't start, if we're here in Indiana under a blizzard warning, what have you. Those are the effects of this fallen world that are unavoidable. And this is a far cry from what the Master's talking about. Far cry from melting in the rain. You in those times are not who Jesus is addressing. But we should consider what and when Jesus is addressing us. What is their reason for not attending? That reason, that thing for that week and possibly for more, becomes in that moment their God. That which they fear, love, and trust over and above God. We can use this as a joyful self-diagnosis for what we're holding onto and need to let go. The third commandment, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, with its meaning from the catechism, we should fear and love God so that we do not despise preaching and his word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. This meaning sounds harsh, despise, but it is true. The man in the parable who just married a wife and has newlywed business to tend to might not think that he's despising the banquet, but he is. And the Master's anger says it all. And we make our excuses about why we can't attend his service to us. Everyone is invited, yet not everyone comes. And of course, the ones always needing to hear this text are those who have already made their Sunday plans otherwise. There's an irony when this text comes up. Their excuses are one thing. But which of us has not sat in this room and wished the feast to be over already? Which of us has not been bored in church and daydreamed, not just of lunch and appointments for the coming week, but have even coveted this or that belonging to our neighbor or plotting much work? It's not just those who are missing from the gathering who Jesus today would have their consciences pricked. The third commandment, it doesn't just demand mere church attendance. It demands the heart's church attendance. Joy and thanksgiving and wanting to be here. It demands considering this time with God to be just as much, if not more, a time of rest and relaxation and recuperation as any other leisure of our lives. Even while we might have the simultaneous work of caring for little ones, that they too would learn to not let our old Adam get in the habit of missing. It is indeed even rest for them, rest for us all. The third commandment is about digesting that word, letting it go in to our ears, roll around in our hearts and minds, and to go out and seek to keep it. Yes, indeed, Jesus would have all of our consciences pricked. And this is good. For all have sinned and fallen short. All are guilty. We are guilty. Every one of us, myself included. We are without excuse. We all ought to be destined for how this Master says would be those for who do not attend. Except for one thing, and it is the bridegroom of the feast. That the Master becomes angry, but our Master gave us the bridegroom. Our Master is slow then to anger, abundant in steadfast love. He is patient and does not despise the contrite heart that strives against despising his word, that strives against the things that would draw us away from his preached word. God be praised that when we confess our sins in church to the Lord of this church, to your Lord, he is faithful and just to forgive. To forgive those times that we did miss for frivolous reasons. To forgive our apathy, even in the pew. But if we were to say we have no sin, if we were to say, please have me excused and feel no remorse for it, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, if we say with boldness and confidence to our Lord, I slept through my alarm. I shouldn't have. Please forgive me. I prioritized this entertainment avenue or this sporting event instead of the Lord. Please forgive me. He is faithful and just to forgive. Be freed by the gospel to confess, as also I myself confess the times where I fail to rebuke with gentleness. It is easy indeed for me to excuse. And this then is wonderful news for us when we let go of our egos, let go and we acknowledge our vanities and receive the comfort of transgressions forgiveness. Transgressions forgiven. That we can recognize how much we like to sin so that grace may abound, how much we love to say that God will forgive me so I can do this. No, just because God hasn't struck us down yet doesn't mean that we should play with that mercy. No, we cannot serve both God and amusement. The invitation is for today. It is not for tomorrow. It's right now. All things are ready. The feast is prepared. And why not come? This is the feast of victory for our God. And yes, we don't want to fear the punishment for not coming. There is a godliness, though, to that. But how much more is Christ pining for you to come out of love and delight in coming in this place to be fed? In this world of chaos, we can be fed with order, with the food of everlasting life, that we can rest in the Sabbath word, the gospel. That there is no more work left to do. God has done all things for you. He has taken up your flesh, lived and suffered, died and rose for you. Despite what you've done in this life, and in fact, because of what you've done in this life, he's died and rose for you. He endured hell's fury and fire. He's crushed that serpent's head, dissolved the chains of guilt and shame and addiction that have held you. He has flung open wide the gates of heaven, removed the guards, that the flaming sword of Eden has been quenched by the blood of the Lamb. The angel of death passes over you as you receive the paschal sacrifice. You are safe. And there is no one to accuse you, no one to keep you out, nothing to stop you from this victory, to stop you from having, from receiving, from coming to this joy from on high. God loves you, beckons you with that love to come to the feast, going out to the highways and byways, wanting everyone to taste of it. He wants you with him and with all of his own, not for himself and his own pleasure, but for you and your rest. So let's not be afraid of our consciences being pricked, for we have a place to put our confession. We have a place to be forgiven, to go and receive. So come, you who are weary and heavy laden, and he gives you rest. Come, you who are heartbroken and lonely. Come, you who racked with guilt and uncertainty. Come, you who have made idols of so many things in this world and life. come, for all things are ready. The feast is ready for you. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.